Welcome to the New Regime podcast, the Cleveland Browns podcast, recorded immediately after every single game and sometimes before. We call it New Regime because Cleveland fans are ready to start over after every single game, maybe even last game. Find me on Twitter, on Facebook, at New Regime Pod. We got a lot to talk about today. So, previewing the Ravens game, we're going to get into things that scare me. Another must win for the Browns, maybe? 3 points from section 346. Art Modell. Ugh. Predictions for the Ravens-Browns game and the next quarter of the season. We're a quarter of the way through the season already. Can you believe it? All right, let's talk about it. Let's get into it.
The Ratbirds.
Okay, so let's talk about this a little bit because, you know, I got this thing. I got this anger still deep down inside me that I'm very frustrated with. It's those dang refs. You guys still mad about it? Because I'm still mad about it, and it's Tuesday. All right, I've had 48 hours to recover from this game. That's how bad they did. That's the job they did. And man, before I get into these stats, don't you guys think sometimes, like, I totally understand that stupid mentality that the Browns are cursed. Because the way in which this team has lost under different regimes, under different ownership, coaches, GMs, in that stadium, it's astounding. Well, they didn't lose in First Energy this weekend, but it's crazy how they figure out, you know, sometimes the refs just have it in their brain. Let's just make the Browns lose. And that's what happened. I will maintain this still. You can argue with me if you want, but the refs made a significant amount of calls in the game that changed the outcome. Even with all of Baker's picks and fumbles, even with the defense being atrocious, the refs still changed the outcome of the game with specific calls they made or failed to make. Period. That's it, right? That's all I need to say. I know the outcome of the game would have changed and the trajectory of what the Browns would have done would have changed had certain calls or plays been made. But boy, did those refs on several occasions make it clear that they didn't want the Browns to win. All right, I'm done complaining about that game. We're done. We're flushing it down the toilet. We can't change it. Time for an exercise in Buddhism, all right? Let's be present. Let's talk about now. And it's all about the Ravens this week, right? Sorry, I'm not telling you to be Buddhists, all right? I'm not. There's no religion on this podcast except for being a Cleveland fan, which is humbling enough. So, Ravens, 3-1, this team. And, you know, going into the preseason and just going into the season, I didn't think this team was going to be that good because I just don't think Flacco's that good. I don't know why I have this maybe blind spot for Joe Flacco. I outwardly hate him. I think he's overrated. I think he had one good season. They're 3-1. They beat a bad Buffalo team week one. So we were all like, okay, any team that starts Nathan Peterman at their quarterback is going to be bad. They're going to lose. So that game was a gimme. Then the Ravens lost to Cincy, who also looks like they are a good team. Then they beat Denver, and we were like, okay, we're listening. And then they beat Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, and now we all should be listening, right? This team is a good football team, and they're coached by a Harbaugh, which means you already hate them. How fitting is it that a Harbaugh coaches the Ravens? Man, do we hate that last name in Ohio. And the Ravens of all teams, the Ravens in Michigan. Isn't that fantastic? On how much we can all hate on that coach, on that family. It's pretty easy to hate that family. Now, I want to talk about the stats, just what we're looking at with this team. Good news is it's at Cleveland, and you have to be at least somewhat excited about that. We're coming home, and we're looking at our season. A quarter of it's done. We're 1-2-1. We have a lot of excuses as Cleveland fans that we could be a lot better than that. A lot of people are talking about how Hugh should be gone and, you know, we've had enough and all of that. And the reason I call this new regime is because everybody's already upset that we lost that game. And we should have won it. Everybody knows we should have won it. And I think the refs pulled it away from us. I really do. But we're going to get into that. We're going to talk more about that. I'm getting distracted. Ravens offense, 5th in points scored. Browns offense, surprisingly, 10th in points scored. So those two numbers, just I brought those up because they kind of jumped out at me. I was surprised that the Browns offense is scoring because after the first several games, we really didn't see it that much. So you have to appreciate what the Browns are doing on offense. That credit should go to Todd Haley, and it should go to Baker Mayfield. Honestly, if you look at the games, I mean, we got a quarterback, and I've been saying it, it's going to be up and down a lot this season because he's a rookie. He's going to make those bad mistakes, and he's also going to show us that he can play. But the guy has total belief. He does not look like a rookie at all. This guy looks so much better than other rookies. So let's give him credit there, and let's be excited about that. But I'm breaking down these stats a little bit. Browns' total offense is 19. Ravens' total defense is 2. This is in yards given up. And another stat that I thought was interesting, the Ravens are 2nd in third down efficiency. So they're getting off the field. They're giving their quarterback more opportunities. To me, a 3-and-out is, I mean, it's the next thing under a turnover, right? You're getting their offense off the field quick. You are getting your offense on the field quick. Now, not all of these are necessarily 3-and-outs, but they are giving their offense more possessions by getting off the field on third down, right? One way is to get turnovers. The other way, and a better way, in my opinion, is having a good third down efficiency. Having teams go 3-and-out, getting off the field, giving your offense opportunities. That usually has a better longevity than depending on turnovers, which is what we worried about in the last week's podcast, and that's what I'm going to continue to worry about with our defense, because they looked fantastic with turnovers, but they're giving up a lot of yards. And, you know, it's sort of a risk-reward system with this defense. You know, a lot of times you see some big plays, and then you just see the Browns get gashed. You sometimes wonder, what if they just went conservative for a quarter, or, you know, not predictable? And there's a lot of things on our defense that I think we can be critical of. So Browns' total defense is 25. Ravens' total offense is 10. So another thing to worry about, right off the bat here, we're looking at significant differences in how good the Browns side of the ball is versus how good the Ravens side of the ball is. Browns rush offense is 2, Ravens rush defense is 4. And you know, again, a lot of our rush yards in the previous weeks were coming from Tyrod Taylor. We had a good rushing game. You know, Nick Chubb just hit a couple of home runs in the last game that were awesome to see, and you want to see him get a little more attention in this game. I think he's looked a bit tentative in other runs that we've seen him on. I know we've seen him very minimally this year, but I think that's one of the problems. And he also had some issues picking up blitzes in week 1. But, you know, it's going to be week 5, so let's see him a little bit more this week. Browns pass offense is 24. Ravens pass defense is 4. So another really good challenge for Baker Mayfield. And, you know, I got to say, one of the things that I've been disappointed with, you know, at least I think in the last game, is the receiving core. I thought they'd be even better than they are. Maybe my expectations were a bit too high, especially with the youth on this team. But, you know, before Josh Gordon left, I thought they were going to be among the best in the league. Just because of his talent, Landry's ability to get open consistently. But, you know, now that Gordon's gone, we have a rookie that's sort of taken Gordon's spot in Antonio Callaway. And he had a rough game. The stats say that he only dropped one pass, which I think is insane. Those stats usually are very, very nice. He dropped several passes. He, you know, dropped another ball. Luckily, his knee was down on that punt return. So I wanted to talk a little bit about benching rookies, because you wonder with this team, who probably knows they're not going to the playoffs this year, at least it's unlikely that this team goes to the playoffs this year, do you do more harm than good if you bench your rookies, right? When you pull a guy out of the game, when this guy desperately needs to learn that he can play in this league, you're probably, or you could be, hurting his psyche a bit more than you'd care to admit. The guy I do want to see more of, though, is Rashard Higgins. I think this guy's earned a little bit more time, too. He's getting more attention. He's running great routes. I mean, some of those replays, I was really impressed. And that was kind of what his MO was coming out of school, if you remember. But, you know, it takes time for these guys to develop. And I just want to see a little bit more of him. I also want to see a little bit more of David Njoku. I think he's, you know, let me down a little bit over the past couple weeks. And the guy just is too athletically gifted to not be producing. I think his running, his blocking has been kind of bad. And on that note, you know, you look at some of our offensive blocking issues, they've been not consistent, but very frustrating. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Browns rush defense, 23. Ravens rush offense, 23. Ravens haven't been looking to run the ball too much, it appears. I haven't watched their games, but their rush offense has been kind of light. Pass offense looks fantastic. Ravens pass offense is 8. Browns pass defense is 24. And, you know, you got to count on your defensive ends getting after it a little bit more. I want to see Ogba step it up a little bit. This guy's, you know, he's a veteran on this team now. And you wonder if he's still hurt. You wonder if they kind of put him on the field at 75%. But haven't we been talking a lot about this guy over the last couple of years, assuming that this guy's going to be the man and this guy's going to have a bunch of sacks? I mean, they took him in the second round. It's not like this guy's a flyer, right? I want to see him produce. I want to see some numbers. You know, Garrett's going to be Garrett, and he's going to have to be in this game. You know, traditionally, we've seen Flacco dice up the Browns a whole bunch. And, you know, every time I say I think he's overrated, he just beats the heck out of the Browns. So he's maybe not that overrated against this team. And they're going to have to really create some pressure. That's just such a ridiculous, obvious statement. It's just, I am reluctant to be excited about this defense right now. Again, I thought they'd be better. They are giving up just way too many yards. They look so bad against the Raiders. I'm not going to look back at the Raiders, all right? I'm stopping the Raider talk. You know, they had that one bad game. They did look okay. You know, losing a starting corner doesn't help. But you hope that this team steps it up and has a nice bounce back week this coming week.
Things that scare me.
All right, this week for things that scare me, I want to talk about the drops, man. They said that the Browns dropped 5 passes this week. There's no way it was only 5. There's no way there was only 5. They just had too many, and they got too many young guys, and to me, their focus wasn't all there. Some of those catches were difficult, but I mean, I got up to like 7 or 8. So there was way more than 5. And if you look at those drops, let's say the team catches half of them. Baker throws for 350, 400 yards in his first start. So I'm going to try to turn this negative into a positive. We had drops. I don't think they're going to be that bad all year. I don't think we're going to see this insane, you know, disease spread through the team and have drops all the time, all over the place. I think these guys are going to get it together. I think they have good leadership in that room, and they're going to turn it around this coming game. But if you look at that and you say, okay, they would have, let's say they did catch some of those balls and they did keep some drives alive. And, you know, there's a little what if in there, but you have to be so encouraged by the idea that Baker Mayfield could have thrown for probably 350 yards in his first start if his team gave him some help. You know, I'm trying to think of this game and I'm wondering, did they did they make any spectacular catches too? Because if you're going to count the ones that they dropped, you also have to look at the ones that were spectacular that they couldn't have caught. Jarvis had that great catch in the end zone. That to me was a Jarvis catch. Callaway's, you know, longest gain, that, you know, that post that he ran that got us down to the one, that was an easy catch. So a lot of the big plays were easier catches, right? And he was hitting them in the hands on the numbers. So, you know, you have to give this game a big minus, the last game anyway, a big minus for our receivers. It won't continue. And, you know, Baker has 300-yard games written all over him. You know, it just, none of it looks too big for him. And we never thought that last year with Kaiser at all. And, you know, I know Mahomes is tearing it up. I don't know what Watson's doing this year. They weren't great in the beginning of the year. So I'll take Baker, man. I'll take Baker. I want this guy on our team. Obviously, everybody loves Mahomes, and I think he's benefiting from that offensive system and the players and team around him. The guy looks crazy good. And you hope Baker does something like that. You know, you hope he develops like that and we see something like that next year. But right now, he's already throwing. I mean, it was, what, 290 yards he had in the last game? So let's be excited about that. So things that scare me hopefully won't continue to scare me.
That ain't an area code.
Okay, this is 3 points from section 346 that come from my boy from Strongsville, Ohio. We've been arguing about sports since the fourth grade. Most of the time, I've noticed our arguments occur during the games because the Browns are playing poorly, and then him and I will argue because we're both frustrated. So we're both angry already, and that's when we pick to have this discussion, is when the Browns are playing poorly. And so we get mad, and we both argue ridiculous stuff. So this is what happened. Before we get into his 3 points, which are fantastic, by the way, we argued about why things were going the way they were going. And so he said, you know, this game is going bad. Baker's turnovers are why we are losing. And I said, I agreed with that point. All right. Basically, I said, Baker is why we're even in this game, though, too. So you have to take the positive with the negative. And he's like, just saying, he's got 3 turnovers. All the other stuff is the same that was occurring to Taylor without the turnovers. And I was like, wait. Taylor would not have 28 points on the board. This was at the time the Browns had 28 points. I was like, Taylor would not have 28 points on the board. He's like, nope, Oakland's defense gives up a lot of points. Come on, dude. Are you really saying that the Browns' offense would have put up this many points just because they were playing a bad defense? Come on, man. It's not even close, the difference between how these guys understand this offense. We have to argue. I got to have him on. This is totally not fair. But he was saying that Taylor would have been fine, just wouldn't have had the turnovers. What? No, Taylor would have not had the turnovers, but he also wouldn't have had 28 points. That's what I'm saying. I do think that Taylor would have been much better with the ball. So to be fair, to my buddy's point, Taylor would have taken care of the ball better. On the other hand, he would not have put the ball in the end zone that many times. Just wouldn't have done it. I don't think he even has the potential to do it on his best day. All right, so here's his 3 points. I know my buddy's fuming right now, and for some reason that makes me feel so good. All right, so these are his great points, and I do agree with them. So the first one is three parts. The first one is the screenplays, and I've been complaining about this too. In the podcast, the screenplays have been atrocious. My buddy did the numbers, so he did some stats, been watching the games. He's like, the Browns quarterbacks are 4 of 7 for 11 yards on running back screens. Dude, do you guys have things that are complete pet peeves to you when you watch a football game and you're just like, how can my team be so consistently bad at something so easy? This is one of them. Your team should be able to run a screen and not get consistently blown up. And we've been through 4 games now and haven't seen one good screen pass to a running back, a standard screen pass. Now, the other point that my buddy had that I really liked was, you know, those screens to the receivers and those, you know, those other running back flare outs that we see have been successful. So you like seeing that, but man, why are we so bad at running a screenplay? It's just the blocking has been bad. They're letting guys slide that they shouldn't. So those, you know, those are very good points, and I share that frustration. Next one, confusing two-point conversions. I haven't watched anything so far. This is being recorded on Tuesday, so I'm not sure why they were going for two. I think maybe they wanted to just jump on the Raiders. They wanted to say, all right, we're going to go up eight on you instead of seven. So I think with the lead, they wanted to take that shot of going up on the Raiders, and they were confident in their defense. Ugh, they shouldn't have been confident in their defense, huh? So to that point, the confusing two-point conversions and the underlying tone of my buddy and his points here is, you know, what's Hugh doing? are we confident in Hugh Jackson? I think a lot of the Browns fans aren't right now. I don't want to start over. I saw somebody tweet it and I totally agree. It's like, I just don't want to start over. But, you know, if playoffs are still 2 years away because Hugh Jackson can't get his act together, then I understand. And if Haley takes over, I understand. Third point from section 346, another one that I also agreed with and even said during the game when this happened, that RPO, what they've been running with that end around and handoff, I actually really liked it. We both agreed we like that format of a run. You just don't know which way it's going to go. Where you had Callaway coming around on a fake and then you'd also have the option for handing it off to Hyde or have the option for pass, I think. They ran that play down in the red zone to Callaway where they had an end around, and it was like, there's no space for this play. Why are you running this play on like the 4 yard line? He lost a handful of yards. It was a bad play call. But I did like seeing it, you know, between the 20s or maybe even between the 30s, you know, give this team a little bit more space to run an end around, you know. So I like that. Another thing that my buddy had in his points and just general conversation, in, you know, how the team breaks down the season in four quarters. And right now we're 1-2-1. I think Browns fans would have liked to have been 500 after these first four games. But you look at Pittsburgh, you look at the Saints, right? We thought that we'd beat the Jets, and I think we were somewhat positive about the Raiders. But, you know, again, before the season, before the Khalil Mack trade, you saw a pretty veteran team with some really good playmakers on the Raiders, and they could have been better. Now, the whole Gruden thing and that whole mess is another thing altogether. But I think a lot of Browns fans probably would have predicted us being 1-3 at this point. Before the season. So yeah, let's pick the Jets game. That's the game we're going to win in the first quarter of the season. So we're a little bit better than that. So I guess if we're looking at things and we're trying to be positive about this, then, you know, we can take that and put that feather in our cap, I guess. The other thing, so after week six, my buddy's saying the Browns have to be at least 2-4. And I agree, right? I think they got to win one of these next couple games. Important to take at least one of these next two games. It's two home games. It's Ravens. It's Chargers. I think that Chargers game's more winnable than the Ravens game is. But you have a couple of good opportunities at home with Baker in front of your home fans to put yourself in a decent position. So if we look at the next quarter of the season, and we're just looking at this, we're talking about the season, you know, you got Ravens, Chargers, Buccaneers, and Steelers again. You know, two home games, two away games. And I think, you know, if you're really just kind of breaking it down, 2-2 is possible. So if we see progress, if we go 500 in this, you know, next quarter of the season, that's going to be progress. And then maybe we try to squeak out some other wins, but those next four games after that, going to be a little bit tough. We have the Chiefs, we have the Falcons, we have the Bengals who are playing good ball, and we have Houston. So that stretch could be rough, and that's why I think we need the momentum in these four. Because I would be impressed if we get out of that third quarter of the season at 1-3. And then we got another tough four games towards the end of the season. So it's a tough schedule this year, and that's why this game is a must win. I think this Ravens game is going to tell us a lot about the mettle of this team, of Hugh Jackson. I think that you could have a young team that is at risk of not believing, especially that's especially depressing because of the Jets game where we saw so much promise. So you hope to see a win. You hope to see the Browns come out tight and strong, and you hope to see Baker just tear up that Ravens team. How great would it be to see Baker tear up that Ravens team? All right, I wanted to talk about Art Modell for a second. I really did, but I just don't have it in me. I was going to compare Art Modell to the owners who have taken over for the Browns. So the guys who took over for the Browns since 99. I think almost everybody who has been through the last 19 years would agree they would rather have Art Modell as the owner than the guys we've had. That's how bad it's been since 99. That's how pathetic this team has been. That's how weak the leadership has been in this city. Isn't that depressing that we would rather have the guy that moved our team? If we're honest with ourselves, and granted, he has a bigger sample size, right? He has a much, much bigger sample size. But if we are able to forget the biggest heartbreak of our sporting lives in Cleveland, which was the Browns moving, we would take Art Modell over these guys that we've seen so far, which just, I can't even believe I'm saying that, right? That's depressing as heck. So where do we go from here? We got to have faith, right? It's all about faith in our leadership, our ownership. Haslam's, you hope they learn some lessons. You hope they put the power in the right place. You like what Dorsey's done so far. Ah, that's another point that my buddy brought up is, look, all of the moves that Dorsey made have been pretty dang solid. So we should give him some respect for that, right? And man, I mean, he made my favorite move so far since we've come back, which is drafting Baker Mayfield. So the Browns are going to be playing in Cleveland Stadium with Baker against the team we hate, and I couldn't think of a better game and a more exciting game to watch this coming weekend. With that said, I'm looking at this game, and as much as I think it's a must-win, and as much as I've been trying to be positive, I just don't see the Browns pulling it out this weekend. I just don't know, man. I hate the way we've been acting. I haven't watched any press conferences. They haven't done a whole bunch of them yet. So you want to see what the mentality of the team is. You saw even players were tweeting about the BS missed fumble call that they had last week. So you wonder if they're hanging on to that game too much. You know, the defense on the Browns scares me. It's been bad. The Ravens defense has been fantastic. They're playing with a lot of confidence. They just beat Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh. So I'm going with the letdown. I'm going 30-20 Ravens. And we're all going to be calling for a new regime after the game. I want us to stick with it. I want the Browns to win this game. I'm still super excited. And this is another game where Baker can really show us what he's made of. In his second start, his third game, let's try to be positive, everyone. Let's go get him. Go Browns.